Bill Henry. And now, Coast to Coast with Arvel. If you're west of the Rockies, stay there. If you're east of the Rockies, go west of the Rockies and dial 877-876-PHIL. Not Art, Phil. If you're south of the Rockies or north of the Rockies, man, we can't help you. No, 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 no. And now, Art Bell.
And thank you very much, Ross Mitchell, and a very pleasant good morning to all of you, wherever you are across this great continent of ours, across the many oceans and rivers, across all of the divides and all that unites us. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. And I can tell you that tonight we're going to have a very special program because General Johnson Jameson, along with his assistant Igor, will be attempting to contact, and by that I mean they will be attempting to at least make some form of contact, photographic or otherwise, with the Loch Ness Monster. Yes, the Loch Ness Monster, legendary Loch Ness Monster. We will attempt to at least photograph, record its very existence, perhaps get it on sonar, get some kind of seismic activity or some photographic evidence of the Loch Ness Monster tonight on Coast to Coast. But first, this word from Piedmont Enterprises. You know, friends, being a civilized human being, you don't know much about surviving in the outback. You can't wear camouflage. You don't really use a knife very well. What can you skin? What can you do with a knife besides maybe pick the lint out and the dirt and the filth out from underneath one of your toenails? Well, now Piedmont Enterprises can outfit you perfectly. You can look like the mountain man you've always wanted to be and still be rather inept with the new Piedmont Enterprises Mountain Man gear and fresh cranberry juice jar maker. You can also make your very fresh cranberry juice right there with the Piedmont Enterprises Mountain Man outfit. Here's what you do. Grab some cranberries, stick them in a jar, and just walk. Walk for miles if you have to. Walk for days if you have to. When you turn around, it won't matter whether those cranberries have melted, whether those cranberries have turned to juice, what those cranberries have done. You're going to drink that no matter what it is. As a matter of fact, you could even urinate into that jar with the cranberries in there, and you got yourself lemonade. That's how you'll feel when the world ends. New from Peenemann. All right, we're going to get on the line now, and I do apologize to my listeners for that Piedmont Enterprises commercial, but I did lose the copy just prior to going on the air, and I had to sort of fake it, and I had to sort of rough it. I had to rough it up and fake it, and a lot of things having to do with putting my hands on something and rubbing it. General Johnson Jameson is in his laboratory there at the General Johnson Jameson, I guess headquarters is the best way to call it, General Jameson. Would you call that your headquarters?
I call it the laboratory underneath the Saskatchewan crust, Art, as you've been calling it for many years, but I guess that's going to have to do. Igor is here, and we are going to attempt now to make the electronic contact with the Loch Ness Monster.
Now, General Jameson, you are not in the Loch, are you?
No, we're nowhere near the Scottish Loch. We are here in, as I mentioned, Canada. And, Igor, can you knock off with the flute, please?
Yeah.
God, what is it with him and that flute?
Well, I thought we were going to have that music as atmospheric music throughout Coast to Coast.
What?
I thought we were going to have that music as sort of atmospheric mood music throughout Coast to Coast.
I can't understand you, Bell. I'm sitting here in my laboratory, and I've got the sound effects of a mall. There's a guy playing piano. He might start playing the organ in a moment, and I might start smelling popcorn. That's how weird my world has gotten. Igor, start playing the flute, okay, so I know that I'm...
You got it!
I know that I'm back here in the real world. So what I'd like to do is go in front of our telestronic. This is a television that I really worked my you-know-whats off to make, and that's why I named it partially after, well, my scrotum. And
that is fascinating. So you call it the telescronic?
Yeah. Why did you interrupt me?
Because I want to kind of move over that. I don't think it's very family-friendly.
Well, it's too bad, Mr. Bell. No. No, I broke my you-know-whats. It's the telescronic. Okay? I made it. and I break my ass making it, and I broke my...
Yeah, yeah!
Easy, Igor, will you? How do you yell and still play the flute?
Wouldn't you like to know?
And so, wouldn't I like to know? So tonight, Art, what we're going to do is contact the Loch Ness Monster, a creature that, as you know, Art, is frightening in and of itself. It is a giant animal. It is a creature that can probably kill us just by staring at us. I mean, it could just look at you. Maybe even it just could lift a fin and fart, and we would be just petrified. So tonight we're going to try to contact it through our telescronic.
Now, in what manner will you contact it? Through electromagnetic impulse, I imagine?
Exactly. The electromagnetic impulses will alert the Loch Ness Monster that there's someone looking at him, and he'll turn around and probably say something in Loch Ness Monster think or speech akin to, "Who the hell are you?" I mean, that's what I would do. And that's why when we did our experimentation, and Igor, you asked me what?
I said, "How's the Loch Ness Monster? What's he going to say? You know what I mean, man?"
And I said to Igor, I said, well, he would probably, in human speak, he'd probably say, "Who the hell do you think you are looking at me swimming around in here?" So that's what we're going to do. All right, Igor, sound the gong so we can get the telescronic going. Do it again. Do it again. Yes. Ah. One more time. One more time. All right. Now, allow my dog to come in from... That's it, sweetie. Come on over here, honey. All right, this is my dog, Fred. Take it easy, will you, Fred? Take it easy. Did you give him the cow can again? I don't want the animal-fed cow can. I eat the cow can. You give him the chili.
Woo!
Yeah.
I want to ask you, General Jameson, you're eating cow can dog food?
Yes, I... Look, Art, don't be Mr. Announcer all the way. Yes, I'm eating cow can dog food. I only give Fred the very finest that money can buy. Look at him, he's all pissed off. I'm sorry, honey. That's okay, Freddy. You go follow Igor. He'll give you your chili. That's okay, baby. Go ahead. Igor, don't you ever...
Hey, man, up your feet, this dog chili. I love that stuff.
Give it to the dog. All right, let's see. So Fred's being fed now. Art...
Can we get to the Loch Ness Monster instead of feeding Fred, if you don't mind?
Oh, well, yes, sir.
I'm sorry, General Jameson, but I have to move this segment along.
Well, yes, sir. You got it, Mr. Bell.
Woo!
I would never want to... I don't want to mess with you, man. No, no. Okay. Igor, sound the alarm. Now it's time for us to begin the delving. The delving is something that we have developed here at the laboratory. In the delving, we synchronize our minds as well as our clocks and watches and everything else, so that we know we are psychically attached as well as electronically attached. All right, that's delve message number 4. And we begin the mall sound effects. I just tased Igor, and here we go. I'm now going to contact the Loch Ness Monster. Oh, God, let it work. Again. Try it again.
Man, I don't think it's working.
Try it again, Igor.
You dirty... I don't think it's working, man.
Again, Igor. Do it again.
But, man, how many times...
I said to do it again. I'm going to kill somebody. Try it again. There it is. That's either the Loch Ness Monster or the squirrel from the Dean Wheeler barbecue.
I think it's the squirrel from the Dean Wheeler barbecue.
Yeah, you would say that, Mel. You would say that. You'd say that to butcher up my moment.
No, I think he's right, man.
Nobody asked you. Why do you say that, Bell?
Because I recognize the animal. It sounds like it's the squirrel. That's not a Loch Ness Monster.
Really? What does one sound like? Oh, gotcha. You don't know what one sounds like. Neither do I. But at least it wasn't the cricket. The cricket is what the sonar, it's what our echo, see? Now I'm sending that off, it's bouncing off, and here comes the... And you're saying that's not the Loch Ness Monster?
No, I don't think it is General Jameson. I think that is indeed the squirrel.
Oh, that hurts. That really, really hurts.
Well, thank you very much, General Jameson. I think that the Loch Ness Monster, though, still remains very much a creature that we can...
Oh, knock it off, Bell. Just go to your break. No, you go ahead, play. You play. I don't...
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
This has been Ghost to Ghost with Art Bell.
All right, hold on for a minute. Igor. What are you doing, man? I'm going to kill you.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back. Thank you very much, Art Bell. What, Margaret?
Well, that was Art Bell and General Johnson Jameson. That was supposed to be the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like it.
He's using a squirrel.
Well, why doesn't he get a monster sound effect?
What do you mean a monster sound effect? That's supposed... What are you guys talking about? That's supposed to be... Don't talk about... Don't talk shop.
Oh, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. You're supposed to believe that was really the Loch Ness Monster. I apologize.
Why are you talking shop?
Well, we're talking about a behind-the-scenes.
Yes, this is behind-the-scenes stuff.
Why are you talking behind-the-scenes shop? You know, if General Jameson wants that to be a... Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It didn't sound like one to me.
Fine, man. What is the Loch Ness Monster supposed to sound like?
Probably like Godzilla or something.
Yes, I think something reptilian and large.
Really? And does it look like that? Look at this ridiculous picture. The thing's got big teeth. What? I honestly don't believe it exists. Okay?
You wait a minute. Wait, say that again. You don't believe it exists?
No, I do not believe it exists. I do not believe it exists. I don't believe they have had... I was in England when they did that whole thing. This was back in 87, when they went across the entire loch. They spread craft, that is, boats equipped with sonar and all kinds of depth reading equipment and all kinds of equipment that could read any mass, large or small, underwater in that loch or, if you will, lake. Okay.
No, what do you call a lake?
Because that's what loch is, lake.
What?
That's it. That's the Gaelic or the Scottish or whatever you want to call it.
Do they say it's like the lake, like Loch Michigan?
Yeah, it'd be Loch Michigan, okay? Never mind, bud.
Bud, would you shut your trap before I stick an entire fist down your throat on one end and another fist up your... Yeah.
Yeah, what a perv. Are you serious?
Get up. Shut up. Boy, Margaret.
Well, it's getting to that point.
Well, you want me to go out and get the can?
I'm sorry?
Do you want me to go get a can of it?
A can of what?
Lard.
You filthy...
Hey! Guys are... Margaret, you know what? If you're walking into these, you might as well let people... You know, if you're teeing them up, let them hit them out.
Teeing what up?
Do you want to...
You talked about a fist.
All I know is this, Bud, that there's a hell, and there's a hell with your name on the door. Okay? Thank you.
Sounds pretty good to me.
Uh-huh. In any event, I was in England when they did this experiment, and they parked these craft one next to the other. So they just spread right across the breadth of the loch. And each of these craft had all of this depth-finding equipment. And they then moved en masse across the loch, if you will, almost like a bar, you know, like an MRI. When you see that bar, sort of that MRI scanning from the tip of your head all the way down to your feet, well, that's kind of what they were doing with these various craft, with all of this depth finding and sighting equipment that they had. They went across the loch, and they covered just about every square inch, looking for any large mass, and they didn't find it. So what happens? Well, what usually happens? We can't just accept science at face value, some of us. There's too much money to be made. There's a video coming out. There's a DVD coming out. There's a book coming out. So we have to keep the Loch Ness Monster alive. So what did they say then? They said, well, and I went into the bookmaking place there in London. I forget the name of it.
You're talking about placing a bet.
Placing a bet. I placed a bet because they were placing odds on finding the Loch Ness Monster. I forget, William something. And I laid money that they wouldn't. I forget the odds I got, but it was, you know, it was decent, and I didn't put a lot of money down. But nonetheless, point being, they didn't find the Loch Ness Monster, and then when they didn't find the Loch Ness Monster, came these theories. Well, you know what really probably is the case? Well, what's that? There's a large undersea cavern that it swims into. Oh, I see. And what is your evidence of that? Well, look, there's just been too many sightings. No. There haven't been too many sightings. There has been one sighting, and we don't even know what it was that guy saw, that monk that saw the thing way back when, right?
Well, what was his name?
Yeah, it was Monk. The guy had the name Monk.
No kidding. That's what I just said. Well, he was like a Benedict. He was a Catholic priest who spotted this thing. And he isn't even sure. He claims he saw a big monster. Who knows? This guy might have been on one of those fasts where you're seeing visions and stuff. Who knows? And I really believe that there is a little bit of a mass hypnosis that goes on with any of this, like UFOs or anything else, where we want to see what everybody else has seen, and so we look really hard, and our imagination is pumping, and, ooh, I think I saw it, you know. I really believe that that's what's going on with this, because I cannot for the life of me believe that even if there was a gigantic serpent or beast of some kind in that lake back in the whatever century we're talking, that it's lived this long.
Yeah, but it could have had babies, and then there's the other one.
Yeah, uh-huh, sure. You're right. What, is it only having one baby at a time, and that baby stays hidden? Is there something about this species that the first thing the mother says to the baby is, make sure you hide from the humans? It's a real riot.
Well, Phil, you don't know.
Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me...
I'm saying that there may be something in the species, okay?
Yeah.
That causes it to do some sort of peekaboo. I don't...
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah, I'd go with that, too.
You're going with what?
I think that maybe the species does a peekaboo. What about that?
The species does a peekaboo.
Oh, go ahead and laugh, Phil. When the whole world is against you, all you know how to do is be hysterical.
The whole world's against me? You guys think there's something about the Loch Ness Monster species that causes it to play hide-and-seek?
I didn't say hide-and-seek. I said it does a peekaboo, which is to stick its head up, look over the... Well...
Yeah, and that's why its head is seen floating above the water?
What do you mean its head's floating above the water?
Where people have seen this is they've seen evidence of this animal somewhere above the level, the top level, above the water line.
What?
What are you talking about?
Hey, look, I'm not going to mess around with you guys. When they see the Loch Ness Monster, where do they see it?
In the lake.
Yeah.
Right. Are they underwater?
Who?
The people that see it.
No, Phil, they're standing on the shoreline.
Okay, then how can they see this creature unless it's some evidence of this animal above the water?
Oh, so that's what you're... Well, yes, of course. I thought you were saying people are putting on snorkeling masks and going, I don't...
So if they're seeing this animal, they must be seeing this animal in a fairly evident state. In other words, it's not playing peekaboo then. It's floating above the water. It's doing whatever the hell it's doing.
Well, yes, but it still trains its young to submerge the minute it sees one of the two-legged... I don't know. I think it's possible.
See, this is exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, Phil, I'm not hysterical like some of these idiots.
No, but this is what I'm talking about. You have a theory. You want the theory to stay alive. Even though science tells you, well, we don't have any evidence, you want the theory to stay alive so much that you begin to invent things. You invent a big cavern that it swims into. You invent the fact that this species plays peekaboo.
I didn't say peekaboo. I said it plays cutesy-poo. Well...
That's a very scientific term.
Well, what do you call it? Get one of these scientists, will you? Get Dr. Tarner, please.
Right away.
Excuse me, I'll produce the show. Get Dr. Tarner.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Peekaboo.
Well, what do you call it when an animal is playing hard to get?
Dating?
Dating? Why, you bestial...
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here. Dr. Ron Tarner, who is a scientist, astronomy is Dr. Tarner's, it is Dr. Tarner's field of study and field of expertise, but he has joined us on many an occasion and many a night to discuss a variety of different topics related to science and related to the sciences. We have Dr. Tarner on the line with us from Denver, Colorado this evening. And Dr. Tarner, we were talking about the Loch Ness Monster. The fact that one of the reasons why we're discussing it tonight is there was an article here in, I think it was one of the Scottish newspapers or one of the Scottish news sites saying that the Loch Ness Monster continues to spur tourism to the Scottish Highlands.
Well, I could well imagine that it does, Phil. It's an interesting bit of legend. It is a fascinating, I think, to... consider the possibilities there. Certainly it's very mysterious, very romantic. And I think when you go to Scotland, and if you've ever traveled to Scotland, it's a breathtaking country in many ways. And the idea of mythic creatures populating these distant lochs, I think probably conjures the kinds of fantasies that one might have watching the movie here that I saw the other night with my son that I thought was very... I wasn't impressed with it at all, and everyone was. I thought it was completely ridiculous. Some of the creatures was in The Lord of the Rings. Now, I know that a lot of people love that film and love those books, and I'm not saying that I don't believe in mythic or that I don't enjoy reading about mythic creatures, but I just was very disappointed in the asinine look of some of the hobbits looked like idiots. I think what I was most disappointed, I know you don't want to talk about Lord of the Rings.
No, go ahead, go ahead. I think it's it, Margaret.
Well, I think it's interesting to hear Dr. Tarner talk about a popular piece of entertainment that is interpreting these kinds of legends. But where does it relate to science?
Well, that's a very good question. Where it relates to science is, did these creatures ever exist? And there are people who will tell us, yes, they did. Now, there is no evidence. There's no more evidence of their existing than there is of the Loch Ness Monster existing.
Yeah, but there's a picture of the Loch Ness Monster.
Well, there is a picture. And the photograph that we refer to from time to time, the very famous photograph, which is the silhouette of a long-necked, what some people think is a plesiosaurus, and is a long-necked kind of reptile that swam as well as walked and talked. Well, it didn't talk, but it
did. Did it actually come out of the water and walk?
I don't know. It swam, and that's all it did was swim. So I guess that's not that much of a big deal. See, what I'm trying to say is this. If the Loch Ness Monster existed when it was first spotted by this legendary monk, St. Columba, and this was in the 5th century, Phil.
So what years would that be?
That would be the 400s.
Okay.
Now, that is over 1,000 years. St. Columba was the one who saw it and was the one who began these fables, and yet we have never seen evidence of it. We've never gotten so much as a fossil, a bone, a piece of DNA, nothing. So I have to believe that at the very outside, the Loch Ness Monster existed at one time, And maybe it existed for perhaps a couple of hundred years. I don't know how long these animals could live, you know.
But what do you mean a couple of hundred years? Doesn't that mean it's more of a magical?
What do you mean magical?
Well, it's a magical aminal.
A magical aminal.
He's saying a magic aminal. You mean, Bud, like a fantasy?
Well, like in Lord of the Rings where they had magic and stuff.
Well, see, that's what I mean. This guy, J.R.R. Tolkien, and this other guy, Jackson, these two guys together couldn't make a decent bathtub fart. And yet they come up with this movie, Lord of the Rings.
Well, they look, J.R.R. Tolkien has had his work interpreted and misinterpreted and made into movies. And made that man is dead and buried. And his estate deals with, you know, farming out the copyright and allowing people to. You can't blame him. You know,
right. I won't blame him, but he's the guy that inspired Peter Jackson to make those hobbits look like utter morons as they walk around with their hairy feet. I just wish that they had a more literate look. And then we come to the dwarves, who don't scare me. I don't know why. You know, the dwarves in J.R.R. Tolkien's book were formidable then. And they could go out and they could butcher you alive. A dwarf could carve you up. In that movie, the only thing that's going to kill you is taking one look at the dwarf and dying from your colon being shoved out through your blankety blank because you're laughing so hard.
Man.
That is, you really indict Peter Jackson, don't you?
Yes, I do. Thank you. That's a good word. So,
well, you have no respect for the Lord of the Ring movies, and I don't even know why we're talking about it.
We're talking about it, Phil, because if you interpret legend the wrong way, you are assisting in destroying science. You have to interpret legend the right way, because legend is based in fact. I really believe that.
All right, let's say that the Loch Ness Monster did exist at one time, and perhaps did exist during the time of St. Columba, who is alleged to have first seen it back in the, you say, 5th century?
I'm sorry, 6th century.
All right, 6th century, the 500s.
Yes.
All right. Let's say it did exist. How long or how long can this thing live? And what are the odds then that, see, people are obviously saying, well, it's had offspring.
No, I don't believe that that's the case at all. I think that this thing lived. If it lived for any length, let's say a reptile, let's say it lived as long as the sea, like many of our land-based turtles, and maybe some of these sea turtles, it could live a good over a century, and that's about it. Now, if it did have offspring, it would have to have offspring that have the same characteristics as others. If, for instance, the Loch Ness Monster had offspring that exist to this day, they all have to share one characteristic, and I call that, for want of a better term, is like a it's called a peekaboo, or swim and seek.
What is peekaboo or swim and seek?
They're talking about hide and seek.
I use the term swim and seek because it's not going to hide. A hide references legs to walk around and hide behind a tree or go into a garage. So
what?
So what? So,
are you saying, Dr. Turner, that the animal is hiding from us?
I'm saying that the animal has inherited a trait from its ancestors that it loves to screw with us, for want of a better term. It knows it's being sought. It knows it's being people are looking for it, and it enjoys frustrating these two-legged, you know, for want of a better term, freaks that it keeps seeing walking around and driving cars. Now, when the Loch Ness Monster first encountered us, it just saw two-legged freaks and couldn't have cared less because all we were doing was carrying bushels of hay and walking around and leading mules. Now, it comes up for air and to take a look around, and what does it see? These two-legged, the same bipeds that we are, but we're driving cars and buses. And we're building, vacation homes. So now it's, you know, the game is at a higher level. Now then,
I gotta stop you, Doctor. Okay.
Why are you stopping him?
I'm stopping him because I'm hearing things that are fantastic.
Yeah, it does sound pretty good.
No, I mean fantastic, as in, unbelievable.
What can I help you with?
Well, you can help me with a couple. First of all, the Loch Ness Monster you're attributing to this creature, an inherited trait to play swim and seek.
Phil, please don't. It's swim and seek. You know, I'm not mocking the way you're saying stuff, and the way you say stuff is pretty balled up. I'm listening to you go,
Well, you know, we tell him that all the time, Dr. Turner, and he doesn't listen.
I'm sorry, but I'm having to carry on the hosting duties of a radio show. I'm having to make sense of the things that are being said to me. I got to keep an eye on the clock to make sure I hit my brakes on time. I got to keep an eye on Bud to make sure that he's not picking his nose and doing something else and destroying the equipment. I got to look at Robert, who is running the board, and make sure I'm getting the cues from him. I got to listen for Dan.
All right, Phil, we get it. We get it. All hail Hendry. Oh, God, are we blown away.
Yes, go ahead. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, Hendry.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, okay. There. You got enough love?
Never mind.
Well, don't be a baby about it.
I'm not being a baby about it. I'm simply saying what you're saying about the Loch Ness Monster comes up for air to take a look around and doesn't see the two-legged people carrying hay and bushels anymore. He sees us with cars and buses, and we're building vacation homes.
Well, yes, Phil. I mean, that only stands to reason.
All right, that's fine. But what does a dumb animal interpret from... No animal interprets his surroundings to that level. So if this creature exists, and still exists, what are we talking... We're talking about an animal that is the descendant of the original... Not the original, but the one that St. Columbia saw, correct?
I would say yes.
Okay. This animal has descended with similar traits, and that is a very furtive, a very shy animal, avoids contact with other creatures.
Exactly.
And so somehow knows that there are humans up here, and one would, I don't know how an animal that lives in water and submerged most of the time knows that there's anything beyond the marine world that he lives in.
What do you mean by marine?
He's talking about the watery world. He lives in like a water world.
Well, you could say it's a water world, yeah.
Okay. And what does an animal like that know of the surface?
Well, I mean, Phil, we're not talking about some, let's go on land and see the land dwellers. Is that what you're saying?
What?
What are you saying, Dr. Tarter?
Phil's the one that thinks the Loch Ness Monster is down there talking to his friends and saying, let's go on land.
No, I didn't say that. I'm just wondering how it is.
Look, Phil, you wanted me to give you a theory. I'm giving you a working theory on how the Loch Ness Monster could still be alive.
And what about the fact they couldn't find it back in 87 when they did all that sonar?
I happen to subscribe to the theory that there is a large underwater cavern into which it escapes when it knows the bipeds.
And what are you calling us? Bipeds?
Yeah, the two-legged people are up there fooling around. I mean, why? It's as good a theory as any.
Well, here's another theory. It doesn't exist.
No.
Why don't you allow for the fact that it doesn't exist?
Because I think you're just trying to... You're saying that because humans are so egotistical, they think that they could kick ass on a monster.
Well, we didn't kick ass on it. Perhaps this creature just died off because it became extinct. It does happen.
See, what I'm saying, Ron, is this. The Loch Ness Monster, let's say he existed. St. Columbia saw him. It lived for a couple of hundred years, and then it died. And ever since then, we have seen it in our imaginations, in our sort of mass hypnosis, wanting to see it. Maybe it did exist, and maybe these tales were true. But I think... It doesn't exist any longer. And there's nothing in this animal's... There's just nothing makes sense that this creature could be living for so long or other creatures like it, and we wouldn't have any definitive proof. That's ridiculous. I'm tired of that kind of nonsense. People don't have proof of the Sasquatch. They ain't got proof of UFOs. They don't have proof of this.
Oh, well, okay. Thanks very much, Dr. Hendry. So you've just...
No kidding. What a baby.
Well, Phil, you weren't very respectful of him.
Oh, bull pucky.
What does that mean?
It means the S word.
Yeah, did I say the S word?
No, but you came close.
Let's see, the S word and pucky. No, I didn't. No, I'm pretty sure one's one syllable, the other's two. One starts with an S, the other starts with a P. And, you know, just, and speaking of P,
I got to go take one.
Good for you. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, R.I.P. Loch Ness Monster.
Truth.
What a bummer
is our
you are,
bitch.
You know?
The Phil Hendry Show.
Mr. Hendry, I'm back. I'd like to have equal time now.
Nope, sorry.
What a chip.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, what about that?
All right. On screen, this is what I was. This is what I was in London observing in 1987. It was a thing called Operation Deep Scan, and it was in the fall of 87 that group of scientists, 24 boats equipped with echo sounder equipment, were deployed across the whole width of the lock, and they simultaneously sent out acoustic waves. BBC News reported that the scientists had made sonar contact with, and here's where, oh, we made sonar contact with a large mass. That becomes the Loch Ness Monster. They made sonar contact with a large unidentified object of unusual size and strength. How the hell do they know that? They don't. That's the researchers decided to return to the same area and rescan the area. After analyzing the echo sounder images, it seemed to point to debris at the bottom of the lock, although three of the pictures were of moving debris. Now, this Dr. Shane, who they've been quoting throughout, said he speculates that they could be seals that got into the lock, since they would be about the same magnitude as the objects detected. Daryl Lawrence, sonar expert and founder of Lawrence Electronics, donated a number of echo sounder units used during Operation Deep Scan. After examining the echogram data, specifically a sonar return revealing a large moving object near Urquhart Bay at a depth of 600 feet, 180 meters, Lawrence said, "There's something here that we don't understand, and there's something here that's larger than a fish, maybe some species that hasn't been detected before. I don't know." This guy is a sonar expert, and he's the founder of an electronics company. He's not a scientist, a zoologist, a biologist, a marine biologist. Say there's something here that we don't understand. Look, people, either it's an animal or it isn't. You don't say, well, I don't know, it could be debris, it could be... otherwise, what are we talking about? Again, we're now engaging in this kind of nonsense. Oh, it's an animal that somehow is able to hide from us. Because we can't even, with all of this equipment, we can't even determine whether this is a large solid body, a large solid mass that lives in this lock. A big animal. We can detect fish. We can detect all kinds of animals.
But, Phil, you said that they didn't find anything.
They didn't find anything. They didn't find anything.
What about a large moving mass?
They don't know what it is. And they determined, some of these scientists said, well, it's debris, or it could be seals that got into the lock from, from the sea, from the ocean. But there is no Loch Ness Monster that has been located. In 2003, the BBC sponsored a full search of the lock using 600 separate sonar beams and satellite tracking. The search had enough resolution to pick up a small buoy. No animal of any substantial size was found whatsoever, and despite high hopes, the scientists involved in the expedition admitted that this essentially proved the Loch Ness Monster was only a myth.
Bullcrap.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. Where did you read that?
I just read it right here. Now, it is Wikipedia.
Yeah, there. See? Wikipedia. You're already saying Wikipedia is bad.
First of all, Bud, how many times are you going to call it Wikipedia? Wikipedia. And if I'm saying it's bad, how come you rely on it so much? And now I'm relying on it, and you say it's bad.
Well, but you used to rely on it. Now you're saying... No, you used to say it was bad. Now you're relying on it.
And you guys used to rely on it. Now you're saying it's bad.
Yeah, but you're...
What, I know more about it than you do?
Sorta.
Oh, well, isn't that convenient? See, this right in a nutshell, folks, is every single argument that we have about anything in this country, anything that we have there's serious contention about, this is what happens. Well, you see, now you're using the same source that you indict. I can go to any other source. I don't have to go to Wikipedia or Wikipedia, whatever the hell. I can go to the BBC. I'll go to any source I want. They sourced this. Here it is. You want me to go to the source? They sourced it. There it is. Number 69.
All 69 states.
You filthy...
Would you what?
Shut your mouth.
Watch your language, please.
You think that's funny? I'm going to get a fine. In any event, this was sourced, and it was sourced through the BBC, and they didn't find the Loch Ness Monster. And they had... This was in 2003, and the equipment, you can well imagine, improved exponentially over the years from what they had in 1987. So that guy, David Lawrence, or whatever the hell his name, well, there's something down there we don't understand. You mean it's like garbage? It's probably McDonald's wrappers, man.
Well, no, it's not McDonald's wrappers. When they say debris, what do they mean?
Well, it could be debris. It could be a bunch of vegetation. It could be just matter, just who knows. Some kind of matter down there that is just drifting about. So there you go. We'll be right back at the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Saturday is upon us here on the West Coast, where it has been for those of you out east and, you know, Central Time and all that jazz, man. We got other news to report. Stick around. The Phil Henry Show will be back, but the Loch Ness Monster...
Dead, Red.
Shut up!
Sorry.
Yeah, you're kind of mean, Mr. Under the Loch Ness Monster.
I couldn't care less.
God, what makes you so cynical and against
Phil Hendry?